You're listening to the Paranormal Peeps on the Dark Cast Network. Come to the dark side of indie podcasts with the Dark Cast Network.
We have cookies. Between the realm of the dead and the journeys of the living, join Josh, Jamie, and Elisa as they delve into the vast world of the paranormal and breathe life back into the history of the departed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. I am one of your illustrious hosts.
Every time.
My name is Josh, and I have with me...
Jamie
and Elisa.
Hey, look at that. She's back.
She's back, finally.
Hey, I've made more effort this year.
You have.
That's true. You're going to double your output from last year.
Right.
And then we also have two special guests today. We have Sarah with Hidden Realms Paranormal.
Yep.
And we have Jen... from Eclipse Paranormal.
Welcome, Jen.
Hello, thank you.
So, being March that it is National Women's Month.
Who knew? I didn't.
I had to be told, but yeah. Yeah.
So did I.
I just found out today.
Wow.
Maybe I should have this event in March. Whoops.
Yeah, I think it's kind of sneaks up on everybody because we can't figure out what national month or day that we're on.
There's probably like three or four different things for this month. I don't know.
There is for every month.
I don't ever keep track.
I don't either.
But we were talking about it earlier. We're like, I should have a present for this.
So guys out there, March, one present every day.
For the whole month.
For the whole month.
Yes.
It's like an expanded Hanukkah.
Today you get a pencil. Congratulations.
Tomorrow might be a piece of paper, but we'll see.
So you can write a note, they're cheap for buying a piece of paper.
right.
Jen, you're having a event in, you already mentioned you have an event coming on in June. What's the event called?
The Women's Prayer Retreat Weekend and Conference.
That sounds really neat.
So tell us about it. Like, what's your plans and hopes for this paraconference?
So what it is, it highlights and features women from all fields of the paranormal, not just ghost hunting. Myself, I'm also a cryptid investigator. I run the Indiana chapter of the North American Dogman Project. So I think it's interesting from all fields, not just ghost hunting. But we have speakers from, I'm trying to get more cryptid speakers in. We'll have vendors, speakers, workshop of different things. And then on Sunday, we will have Psychic Sunday. And we'll have galleries with different psychic mediums.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then anyone's invited to attend. It's open to everyone. And the investigations are open to everyone. And the way we'll run the investigations is we'll have two groups of mixed men and women. And then two groups of just women. Because sometimes women aren't comfortable around, this is going to sound bad when it comes out, but it's not been that way. They're just not comfortable around some men. Because I've interviewed women for the retreat as team leads, and she says that she quit a team because she did not enjoy being in a dark place with the guy that was the founder.
Oh, wow.
And we're also taking donations for the local domestic violence shelters for the domestic violence survivors.
Oh, that's awesome.
They are not victims. They are survivors.
No, absolutely.
So what made you want to start this?
Well, you know, there's not really many shows with just women on them out there. Yeah. Women don't get all the credit they deserve in the field. It's kind of a man-dominated thing,
yeah.
But women are just as important as the men. And I've had several guys say, if I did not have women on my team to investigate, we wouldn't get the evidence we do.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of paranormal activity can be very geared towards one gender when they come into that space.
Oh, yeah. Think about how prisons are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They love the ladies.
Well, and I think just like everybody else, everybody has all the entities and spirits have different personalities, and some would rather choose to talk to a female, or someone rather choose to talk to a male. I mean, we've gone to places like that where,
oh yeah,
it's tons. Like yeah. The women aren't getting any responses because it's a male dominated area that we're investigating, or vice versa. And yep. sometimes you just need to have that. And I think that's awesome that you are creating this opportunity for women. That's really, really cool.
Thank you. Well, and if you go into a location with children, most of the time they will go up to women since they're more comfortable around their moms most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important too, because I've seen this around on social media quite a bit more lately, but it is like there's a lot of women in the paranormal, but they're either not in front of the camera, you know, they're producers or camera people and stuff like that. And we do need to have more women hosts. Like we need to have more of that. There needs to be more diversity in that avenue.
I think it would be a lot more relatable for everyone else out there to have both the female and male, you know, not just because, you know, obviously there are some of that we see, some females out there that we see, but for the most part, it's pretty much all male.
It is, yeah.
Except for the teams that we've like talked with and been like parts of, like most of them are all, or not all female, but female dominated.
Yeah, lately there have been a lot more coming out.
And then you get the, oh my gosh, the female drama. I hate to say it, but I've run into this a lot where, well, so-and-so rubbed me the wrong way or what. And then it's just like this whole thing. So now we've gotten to where we have to start carrying our recorders anytime we go work with different teams or something, because they'll go, well, so-and-so said this. And it's just like this. He said, she said game between them. And it can be so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Especially you're all adults. Grow up.
That's right.
That's I know tomorrow night I'm going to have my first episode of, it's called Paranormal Rant. But what it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's not naming names. It's about things going on that will needs to change in the community. And like you said, this cattiness, that needs to stop. We're all here for the same reason.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't know how much you have you seen the Wilson Castle thing going on?
No, it's, where's that at?
It's up in Connecticut. Is that where it's at, I think? I guess.
You could say whatever you wanted and we'd believe you.
We don't know where this is.
I think it's in Connecticut. It's up north somewhere, like far away from me in Indiana, like a 14-hour drive. So, but I guess Ghost Hunt USA did not pay them.
Oh,
I know.
Which we've heard before.
Yeah, we've heard this.
Heard a little bit about that. Yeah,
no, I've had a whole conversation with people about them already.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Me, yeah. And this is one thing, is another reason why I'm also doing public events, is because they leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yes.
Location owners. A lot of location owners now, because of them, will not allow public investigation unless they know you.
Yeah. And they need to also, these places that are allowing you to come in, it's a good idea just to have a contract saying, this is what I will allow, what I won't allow.
Yep.
If you're going to do this and we find out, you will never be allowed back and we will tell everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I guess that's, they wouldn't pay them. So I don't know. I've never been a big fan of them because of the way they run their events. And I look at the Yelp reviews and I'm like, oh, well, they're leaving a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So where does that leave the rest of us that hold fundraising events and things? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, well, it's going to make them not want to come and trust that it's going to work out for them.
And that's what I wish people would understand that a little bit more about the paranormal community, is that we're all different in that avenue, but one person can ruin it for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Very easily.
How many locations? Exactly. A lot of locations, at least in Utah, have started shutting down and not allowing anybody in because they've had people come in and do things. Or there's one place up in Ogden that I would love to get into and investigate. But the last group went in there, left their trash everywhere, and left it worse than it was when they got it. And so they were never doing it again.
Yeah. Or there's the gatekeepers, which say, oh, I have a contract, you can't come in here, which needful things. I know we'll talk about that another day, but that happened to be one of the locations that they did this at. There was no such contract and they were never allowed back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is super frustrating. I mean, we're all just trying to, I mean, honestly, I think for the most part, this is something what they're not doing it for a job. We're doing it because we enjoy it and we love it. And, and so we want to go experience all those things. And I feel like when you have a joy like that, you kind of want to share it with everyone.
Right.
And you can't
that's
do that.
Another reason.
Yeah, and you can't do that when somebody's trying to take control. Then makes it not fun.
And, you know, I love investigating, and people look at me crazy. And then at Halloween, they love me. You know how that
right?
Goes.
Yeah, we all know.
She's the weird girl until Halloween rolls around. And then I'm the cool girl.
Right? I was the weird girl until all of a sudden they didn't know if they were schizophrenic. And then they're calling me for help. So, I mean, I know what you mean.
And that's happened. They're like, oh, my God, I had something happen.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. And those that even have slight interest, that's why I like to do the public events, too.
It's a good beginning spot for anybody that's interested. And, you know, I think all of us at some point needed that. Yeah. We all had to go through that. Where do I start? What equipment should I be using? How do you use it properly? And you need mentors for that. You need to have a starting ground.
Exactly.
So Jen, is this your first para retreat weekend, or have you guys done them before?
I had one in 2019, and we were supposed to have one in 2020, and that's the year we don't want to remember.
Right.
Right.
So, and then in 2021, Moundsville, the county, was still under COVID watch. So we postponed it again. And last year, my vendors and speakers were not advertising like their contract said they should. And I could do it all alone. So I postponed it again. So this year, come hell or high water, we're going to have it.
I feel like it's happening.
It is.
That's good.
I
feel like there's not a lot of them out there. The Paracons, the good ones.
Yeah, and they're a lot of work. I did the one here in 2016 with Badass Spirit Outlaws. I helped find the location. I didn't find the main speakers or anything, but just going into that, getting the advertising done, making the commercials, making sure the tickets were selling, locations. I mean, it was so much work. So God bless you on that, because I don't know if I could do it again.
I tell you what, my eyes are ready to cross.
I bet. Yeah.
I had to move on to Global Ghost Hunt for a while and quit working on that because I was stressing myself out.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, I'm sure.
It is. And, you know, you have people who say, why is it so expensive? Well, you have to sell tickets because I have to not purchase the place, but rent it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pay for what I do is I pay for the speakers, their accommodations for the night they speak, and tables and things. And people just don't understand there's overhead to all this, too.
Now, that would be something to come out with the price point of this is how this money where it goes, just to be like, anytime somebody asks.
I do.
Right?
Me,
here
do.
You go. Here's the price point for you.
And they're like, oh.
Just look at
think
that.
Think about all that. Then you have liability insurance on top of it.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're just like, oh, I didn't realize that.
And you're paying for the venues and everything else.
Well, yep. And speakers, depending on who you have, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had this lady. It kind of makes me chuckle. Never heard of her. And she wanted me to pay her $5,000 to come do a 2-hour psychic medium reading gallery.
Oh, my
Holy gosh. Moly. Well, just so you know, I know a lot of women here that are psychic mediums and speakers, and we love doing anything for free as long as we have a plane ticket and a hotel room for the night.
Right?
Here's the thing, too, about the women's retreat is that you can speak virtually, too. We're going to do it virtually.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. So are you going to have that like available for people who can't be there to watch it?
I thought about that through StreamYard.
Yeah.
I thought about it. I actually thought about that.
Because that would be neat too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Get your name out there a little bit more.
Yep.
Well, especially since it's tough to travel sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for the men's event that I'm holding, their names are Al and Brian. They're from Bronxville Paranormal Society.
So they're both Al and Brian, both from Bronxville Paranormal.
They're from New York. It's easier that way. They're Al and Brian. It's Bronxville, like Bronx, New York.
Uh-huh.
Bronxville Paranormal Society.
That's cool.
Brian moved to Florida. Al's still in New York. So they're going to speak together virtually at the men's event.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Nice.
And then one of the guys is out in Arizona that will speak, and he's going to do it virtually. So it'll be interesting. And I told the ladies if they want to speak, you can do it virtually too. We'll set something up.
So what kind of speakers are you going to have?
Right now we have a class on herbs and crystals, a class on numerology. I think I'm going to speak about the Akashic Records.
Oh, fun.
And I'm not sure what the one lady is going to speak on yet. She's got several different ideas. And then on Psychic Sunday, I have one lady right now doing reading. So I just need like three more and we will be full.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And how long are these speakers going to speak for?
Hour and 15 minutes. And then they get like 15 minutes to do Q&A.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know if that's enough time if you're getting into herbs and crystals.
I did, what was the name of that thing that I did? The conference, not last year before. I did one on angels. And I think it was like 90 minutes. And we didn't have enough time to go through everything and them ask questions. And it was the very last one at the very end of it. I only had 10 people show up, but reviews were great. It was so much fun. But everybody was like, we wish it were longer because there's just not enough time. And you're like, I know. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Well, Here's my email. Just email.
Yeah. I am more than willing to work around it for however long they need. I've asked them.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Cool.
I would really like to have a female demonologist and occultist speak.
Jimmy Lynn Darling. She's in LA. That is exactly what she does. Jimmy Lynn Darling.
Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie. Her, I think Jimmy might be her girlfriend, fiance. But yeah, Jamie. Yeah.
Okay. I will check her out. Did you say you're in Utah?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
So tell me this. If you ever investigate with Post Malone, can I come?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I've yet to see him at any event. Right. We'll let you know.
Like, you ever get Post Malone, let me know.
Yeah. I would just kind of be like, what the heck's going on if he showed up? Like, wait, did I miss a memo?
Tell you what.
He's not
the prettiest guy, but I really like him.
He's got good music.
He is a sweetheart. He bought a car from one of our local dealers, and then he spent 2 hours signing autographs.
Oh, wow.
For everybody that wanted one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually took my son to one of his concerts. I'm like, who the hell is Post Malone? I see him on most of his books. We got CDs, beer bongs and Bentley CD with our ticket. I instantly became a fan.
Oh, that's so cool. I've never heard of anybody handing out an actual, like, here's my music when you come. That's really awesome.
It's usually, my music, here's, like, give me
$30. Yeah, yeah.
And Justin Bieber did the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we got
our tickets.
Maybe we can get Bieber and Malone.
We're just going to start sending out some letters like, hey, guys,
we want to do some ghost hunts with some celebrities.
Hey, why not?
I'm like, what?
So
I know he went to Skinwalker Ranch, so I'm like, maybe if I befriend him, I can go to Skinwalker Ranch, right, too.
Well, you know, they did have the cool Vernal Paracon, I think, out there this last few months back. And I know some people went to Blind Frog Ranch and few places out there and got photographs with everybody and all that.
Oh, wow.
So are you going to have investigations during your conference?
We are. We are going to investigate on Friday and Sunday. We have three locations. We have the Archive of the Afterlife Paranormal Museum. Uh-oh. We have the Old Wells Inn and the historically haunted Old Gaslight Theater. So what'll happen is we'll take half the group that purchases their tickets for all the locations. Say we have 20 people, we'll take 10 to the museum. The other half will go investigate the Wells Inn and the Gaslight Theater. And then on Sunday, we'll flip it. Whoever was at the museum will go to the theater and in.
So is there a limited amount of tickets to be sold?
Well, they're smaller places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. There's not a whole lot of room. So I maxed it out at like 20 people for those.
No, that's great.
And you know what? That's still a lot. There's some, I like Benson, we usually do 20 and it's four small things. And sometimes we're standing like sardines in a can.
Yeah, in some of the houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I figure at the Gaslight Theater and the inn, we can do 5 and 5.
Yeah, that's good.
And you have dinner room. And then on Saturday night's the big investigation. It's at West Virginia State Penitentiary. And conference is actually going to be at Moundsville Center on the prison grounds.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. Neat.
That's like the best place to do a conference is in prison.
Plenty of rooms.
Yeah, that's right.
Just so you know, we were kind of giggling while you're talking, but it's not because of anything you said. My body's just making noises. We just ate. And so kind of throws
She's
a little
She's gurgling
off.
Over
Air
here.
Bubbles, yeah.
It's like a throat noise. I don't know. It's weird, but... That's why we're not laughing at you. Just throwing that out there.
So you mentioned it's at Moundsville?
Yep, West Virginia.
That's one state I have yet to go to.
Same here.
I would love to go to all those 49. Civil Wars. Civil War places are the best.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you mentioned you're part of the Dogman Project. Like
the NADP?
Yeah. Yep. So for some of our listeners, I'm sure they don't know what the Dogman is. Can you just let us know a little bit of history of the Dogman?
Sure. If you Google Michigan Dogman, this was first seen back in the 1800s. It's a Dogman creature that can walk on all fours. Have you seen Van Helsing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of those look like that.
Ew.
Most of the encounters look like that.
That's not creepy.
A lot seen. Look like those from Van Helsing. Then there's other types. Some are called face eaters and they're gugwies. Then there's others that look like, chimpanzees? Look more like an ape. A lot of people think, they're similar to Bigfoot. My son's standing here listening because he loves to talk about Dogman. And he's only 7.
That's awesome.
They're like, they're the same thing as Bigfoot or Sasquatch. No, a lot of them have the hocks like the dogs do.
Oh, wow.
And it's something you really don't want to run into in the dark.
So yeah. What would you say the difference would be between like the Wolfman and Dogman?
Like a werewolf?
Yeah.
I think that they're shapeshifters. Werewolves are.
Mm-hmm.
They're shapeshifters because you have the Lugaroo that will shapeshift down in Louisiana.
Yeah, the swamp areas.
And some of these dogmen look like Anubis. Some of them come out of portals. Sometimes they're purple glows when they're seen. People say they've been made by the government. There's all kinds of theories out there, but no one knows for sure. But the first one was seen back in the 1800s. If you look at Native American history, they have been seen by the Native Americans before they settled, before the white man settled here.
So are they, so you said they show up kind of differently. So is it more of like a ghost or is it more like how they say like Bigfoot is where it's an actual creature that lives and breathes?
Oh, they live and breathe. I think there's different kinds because people have said they have walked through walls.
Oh, my. That would terrify the living daylights out of me if I saw that. I'm like, okay, that's beyond anything I can.
People have woke up to them, like standing in their bedroom.
Good Lord.
See, that's why I'm like, is this not more of an entity if it can walk through walls?
More of a spirit.
More of a spirit, yeah.
And then people have shot and killed them.
Huh.
Wait. So that's different. How to shoot and kill something, but not really know. Well, so
the government.
So that if they shoot and kill it, did the body remain so that they, I'm just trying to think of how to even put that into words.
This is what I've heard. I've not encountered this myself. So the FBI, Men in Black, don't come after me, please. That if you report that or a Sasquatch being dead, that you've killed it, they will come pick it up.
That honestly wouldn't surprise me.
There's actually, I listened to Michigan Rob's podcast on an encounter with a dogman here in Indiana at a state park that's about 45 minutes from me. And I was like, holy crap, that's where the Boy Scouts take them camping at.
Oh, gosh. Those are fun campfire stories.
And they come to life. And then today, someone shared another story out of the same state park with me on Facebook. She said, hey, listen to this. It's an Indiana dogman story. I said, does it begin with a P? And sure enough, it did. And it was a different encounter than the original one I heard.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so there's not, I mean, there's a few state parks in Indiana, but there's one that has like a lot of trees in it.
I mean, the one that we went to.
There was an Indian.
A lot of birch trees.
Yeah, there's a lot of birch trees.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
It's like in the center part of the state.
Is it what's it called? Yeah, is it down by Anderson?
You can rent.
Is it Moundsville State Park or Mound State Park or something?
Oh,
like
yeah.
That?
Yeah.
Now they are known to have puckwudgies there too.
Wait, what did you say?
A puckwudgie.
A park wudgie?
Puckwudgie?
It's P-U-K wudgie.
Oh, pug. Oh, okay. Puck.
Puck wudgie.
It's like you're known to have wedgies. What? So explain what that is.
They're evil little elemental spirits.
Okay.
And they are tricksters, and they try to get you to hurt yourself, or they will try to hurt you.
Huh.
They're not very nice. They're also in Native American lore as well.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Okay.
But they're known to be down there. Mm-mm. And they said if you investigate the state park at night, you can hear cannon blasts too.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. That would be so cool.
I had a friend who grew up in Gettysburg, and they used to break in there at night. And he said they were climbing some kind of ravine, and he got up to the top, and there was a Civil War soldier staring at him, and he just let go and fell to the bottom.
Oh, my
word. He's like, I would never go back in there at night after that.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't have went in there for the snake. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's those too. It's usually the creepy, crawly, venomous things that stop people from going places.
Yeah. Well, my friend was telling me, we were going over some evidence from our old investigation, and I was sharing mine with hers, and she was sharing hers with me, and she texted me. She just moved to Ohio. She lives about an hour and a half from me now. And she was telling me there's some cemetery over there that they tell the kids, do not go in there. It's about an hour from where she lives at. And she said her boss's son went there one night and was chased out. You have to go over a guardrail. And she told him, do not ever go to the cemetery. Sure enough, him and his buddies in high school went, and he is still so scared from it, he will not talk about it.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what he saw, heard, what happened, but he ran out and will not talk about it.
Jeez. I mean, I have yet to experience anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think, like, as a ghost hunter, we're kind of, like, wishing that something like that would happen.
Until it does.
There's a... On Paranormal Girls, they were working with somebody. I'm not going to say who they were, but they were on a house case, and they were doing a photo of who was all there. And you can see, like, right between you two is a full figure of a person. And he saw it, ran out of the house, handed them the SD card, and started throwing up in the bushes, and was like, he has not really actively investigated since.
Oh, wow.
And jeez. I saw the photo. It was like I was not that impressed. I mean, it looked like a person. Don't get me wrong. I was impressed by that. But I was like, this is not something that would make me run out and...
freak out
up in the bushes.
Well, it's like it's all great and fun until you experience it, and then you don't, like, because I mean a lot of us have experienced things, and that's why we go into the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Some are, you know, forced. Josh.
I was not forced. I was coerced. There's a difference.
Into the paranormal. And so for us, it's when we see things or hear things, we're like, ooh, more, do it again. I want it. Okay, come on. I totally saw somebody down there. Can you do that? Can you just poke out more of your body, not just your face, you know? But I think for people who have never experienced anything before and are scared anyway, and they just save face, you know, then when they experience something and they're like, okay, no way. No
I'm
way.
Done. I'm done.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and then there are those people where from birth, they're preached anything you see, that's a demonic. That's Satan coming after you. And of course, you're going to be terrified at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
And that's Joshua, wasn't that kind of how you were, though?
That's exactly. I would, during First Communion when I was 5 years old, 5 or 6, I can't remember quite the age, but they told us that there are evil spirits in the world, and if you ever see one, you'll die.
Wow. I would have been dead at two.
Meanwhile, I'm at my Catholic church, like, la-di-da-di-da, paranormal team, ba-di-da-da. And nobody bats an eye. They're like, all right, cool, yeah, that exists.
I guess that's the difference between nowhere North Dakota and here.
I guess so.
When I was four, I went in my mom's bedroom, and there was something looking out in the window at me that was smiling and looked like a tree. And later I found out it was an elemental. She told me it was because I had been mean and the devil was watching me.
Oh, well, there's that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but, well, you see how it turned out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Now, my grandpa would have just said that to you and then laughed and walked away. He's kind of mean in a funny way.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, really? Okay, well, then I couldn't get my hands on enough stuff about the paranormal.
Right?
So is that what got you into the paranormal then?
I say Scooby-Doo did. I really
That's
do.
That's awesome.
I blame him.
But there were never a ghost. They were never ghosts.
Yeah, that's true.
Scooby-Doo.
They never were.
But I feel like that's like our life as paranormal investigators. We search and search and search and search. Mm-hmm. And it is rare for us to actually see something.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm more just like, oh, that one's not a demon. Yeah. More so than the ghost. That one's not a demon. That's a human spirit.
I don't know what really got me into it. I know I enjoyed it and I thought all of it was interesting. I think it's because my grandparents had a house that had something in it. I don't know.
Well, I think
both sides of my family are very strong empaths. I'll put that.
Well, I think some people, yeah, I think some people are just naturally intrigued by the whole idea. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, I was scared to death at a young age, I've always been intrigued, always. So, go ahead.
My youngest son, 7. Oh, he's my little ghost hunter and cryptid investigator.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So is there anything else about your para-retreat that you want to tell us about?
I can give you the website.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's women, no apostrophe, just W-O, M as in Mary, E, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, para, P-A-R-A, retreat.com. That'll have the speakers, team leads, ticket, all the information on there. I haven't got the event schedule up yet because we're not sure who's speaking at what time.
And can you again tell us when it's going to be?
It's June 24th and 25th.
And then I had a lot of these questions, so we'll just see if anybody else, I'm sure, wants to know. But I know for ticket prices, what will be the ticket price to get in? Is there ticket prices set differently for any classes? And what about ticket prices for the paranormal events later?
The 2-day pass is $50 for 2 days.
That's a really
good
price.
That is not bad. Yeah. That is not bad, guys.
So I do have payment plans starting at $10 a person. Let's see. Right now, the women's retreat for West Virginia State Penitentiary is on sale for, come on, it's not doing what I need it to do.
Websites never do.
Are you doing like early bird pricing?
I'm doing a sale right now. They'll go up. Yeah, there it is.
That's always good. Get those pre-sales going.
Right. So just West Virginia State Penitentiary, that includes admission to the conference both days, the daytime tour of the prison and the investigation is $209 per person.
That's not bad either.
No, with an investigation and tour in there, that's great.
Yeah, and 2 days of the event, that's awesome. That's amazing.
You'd be amazed at the people that complained about the price.
But you know, there's always going to be people that complain about everything. I had a person on my team who complained because we asked them to buy a $15 shirt a year in advance. They're no longer on the team, but it happens. So don't feel too bad.
I just have no words for that one.
neither did any of us. We still laugh about it to this day.
What's like $1.10 every month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like 2 Starbucks drinks, maybe 1.5. You know?
Yeah.
They're going to complain if they don't want to do it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and that's
then all in 4 investigations is a $10 down payment plan per person. And then the ticket for all those investigations, the conference and daytime tour is $274.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I actually had some speakers complaining because they had to pay for their investigation ticket. So they're no longer with us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wanted me to include their hotel, their table and chairs, and all the investigations.
I would have probably been like, you give me a free investigation pass, and I'll pay for my own hotel. Right. I'd be so up on that. I'd be like, first thing, yeah.
I was just floored.
Well, the places are small, though, so that, like, you need to limit the amount of people, regardless of whether or not you're speaking at the event or not. Because, like, if you have enough speakers, then it's like, we got our own private investigation for the speakers.
That is true.
And then nobody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like Waverly.
They need to actively be including in doing something. Like, what are they bringing to the table if they show up to that? That would be my thing.
Yeah, I have done a conference, you know, or like a para conference or whatever, para event that, you know, we actually did get to ghost hunt with some celebrities that are on, you know, TV shows, and they came to the investigations and spoke and did all that. But the thing is, with the investigations, they actively were going around speaking with everyone and were a part of the investigation. They weren't just doing their own thing. Right.
Yeah.
Like, they would come up and walk around and talk to everybody, and it was really cool. And they were teaching other people how to do things, so actively being involved. At that point, I would be like, heck yeah, that would be great. But if they're just going to go do their own thing, then, well, actually, I still need to pay for this. Yeah. So
I agree. Yeah. When we had it's no longer there anymore, but the Broadway on Main Street, when Darlene came up for the demonologist part of it. She came to us with that and went with us to that part. And she used some hoodoo stuff, like brought in the tobacco to bring in, you know, and she explained what she was doing and why she was doing it. And it was really amazing because I've never been a part of seeing something like that and experiencing how somebody would invite spirits to talk to them with those methods.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it was really neat.
And then they also have the opportunity to stay their accommodations at the Old Wells Inn, too. So they can stay at the Haunted Hotel and investigate there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Deal.
Right?
I'm the opposite. Like, when Virginia City, I'm like, man, I need my sleep. I can't stay here at this hotel that has no bathtubs and the door to the toilets hitting the bed because there's no room. And
There's a room that has a bathtub in it. It's just in the middle of the room. Floor, yeah.
Then we had the girl that got the haunted doll that I was rooming with that had only met this weekend, and she was like completely taken by this doll. And I'm like, this is just a nightmare. She's great. I love her to death. Unfortunately, we got that handled. But that was a little bit of a mess right there for the little bit of it.
She had a haunted doll.
Yeah, I looked at this doll. It was at the antique mall, and I said, "Oh, that doll's haunted." And they're like, "Let's that doll's haunted." It's as Jen and Mary says from Paranormal Girls, and I'm like, "That's what I just said." And they're like, "Let's call her up. She'll come get it." And she got it, and I think within an hour she was doing things that just they were not her. And if we tried to like, "Hey, can we hold the doll?" She would start crying, and it was odd. And Patty Negri was there, and Mary and Patty Negri ended up doing some sigil work and stuff and pushing this doll back in, like the entity back into the doll to keep it there. So worked out, but
wow.
But it was
that
an interesting.
That seems a bit intense.
Yeah, it was an interesting stay for a few days.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, can I sleep in your room on the floor? I don't want to go back to there.
I don't know if you have TikTok or not. Or if you follow, she used to work at Pennhurst as a guide. Her name's MJ or Mary Jo. She has Pennsylvania or Paranormal of Pennsylvania, something like that. She has haunted dolls, and she actually was injured by one of hers.
Yeah, you have to be careful with that stuff you bring into your home.
Yeah, she was in the hospital for a few days from it.
And yet they sell them on Etsy for anyone to buy.
eBay, everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they claim they're haunted,
Ouija boards, and you go buy them at Target.
Yeah, exactly.
When Nate passed, I got some of his haunted dolls, and I was told by that one over there sitting on the couch that I needed to keep them in the shed.
Smart man. Wow. All right, Jen. So we ask everybody this who's a guest on our
podcast. What is one place in the U.S. that you have that you've never investigated before, but you really want to investigate? And what is one place in the world that you'd want to investigate?
The world will be Chernobyl.
Yes.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., Skinwalker Ranch.
I think a lot of us in Utah want to go investigate Skinwalker Ranch.
We are so close and we still...
We can't
do it. Yeah.
You can go on the outskirts.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there is a camping area over there where you, it's like 4 miles away. I mean, that for me, that's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get right over there and go in camping gear. Probably cheaper too.
Right?
Yes, definitely cheaper.
Of course, they never write you back when you ask. So how would you know? Like, I would like to pay you to come camp there for a night. No word.
That would be awesome.
One of the gals I investigate with is going to Poveglia.
Is going where?
Poveglia Island in Italy.
I've never heard of
that. I haven't.
Ghost Adventures was there where they had the TB hospital.
Oh, or whatever hospital. Yes. Yes.
Oops, sorry. I hit that.
She gets to go. Is it? It's this year she's going. One of our friends, Maria Schmidt. Do you know her? Mm-mm. She had World's Largest Ghost Hunt and has Mysterious Adventures Tours now.
Uh-uh.
She her Mysterious Adventure Tours, she takes you to haunted locations around the world. And their trip to Italy this year, they get to go in Poveglia.
Wow, that's so cool.
And we have a TB house in San Diego, and this is far before I knew I had a what we'd call medical psychic abilities, where you feel medical stuff. And I walked in that house, and I was like, I feel like there is an elephant on my chest. I cannot breathe. What is wrong with me? Oh, it was a TB house.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
so it seems appropriate. That wouldn't be a good place for me to know.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the weirdest feeling.
Any type of hospital.
And yeah, well, it gets more specific with a place like that, but yeah, it was definitely weird.
I think the craziest thing that happened to me in a hospital, it's no longer standing. They tore it down. It was an old hospital over in outside of Cleveland, Ohio, St. Joe Hospital. We were in the hospital on the psychiatric ward, and I had worked at a psych hospital until last year. I'd worked there 6 years. So some girls were sitting on the ground. Myself, my friend's daughter was standing beside of me, and the two guys were standing up. For some reason, I would not turn my back on the door that goes to the stairwell. So I'm standing there watching, and this little, the only thing I can describe it as is a rake. Mm. It came in through that doorway, was about half, it was about 4 feet tall, maybe, like halfway up the door frame. It dropped down and started crawling along the wall.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Those are always fun.
And the only thing I can describe that is as a rake. And come to find out, there was a portal above where we were sitting at on the next floor.
Jeez.
So that was the creepiest thing that's happened to me at a hospital.
So what's the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you on an investigation?
I couldn't breathe and felt like something was trying to get inside of me at Ohio State Reformatory the first time I went.
Ooh.
That would do it.
Let me tell you, I went, got grounded, went right back in, and I've not had a problem since.
Well, good for you. There's a lot of people I've seen just walk away. They don't even say goodbye. Yeah. Said, get out, and like, said my name out the door.
Oh, no. And I flat out said, you're not going to run me away.
Oh, yeah.
Now when I go, like I said, the first women's event was at OSR. And the last time I was there was then. And like, even I like to go on the daytime tours if I'm close enough. Just, because I love the place. It's like my favorite place to investigate. But awesome. My oldest son's name is Caden, and I don't go on the tours at night anymore because I know the way around when we investigate. I turn my spirit box on and I say, hey guys, how are you doing? They said, how's Caden doing?
Oh, wow.
He's good. Thanks for asking. You know? But, and then like my friend Maggie, she wants to go ghost hunting, but she doesn't. And she lives in Ohio, and she's like, well, send me something, show me what you do. So I was watching Ghost Adventures Investigate OSR, cleaning my house, sweeping the kitchen. I come around the corner to throw my dust away in the trash. There's a big old shadow figure standing in the middle of my kitchen. In my head, I'm thinking, how did the man get in my house? I start to hit it, and it disappears. My son that was in here that I told to go sit down, he comes out and goes, Mom, who's that man standing at the door?
Oh, gosh.
Dang.
I said, oh, you see him? He goes, yeah, he's standing there. I said, oh, it's okay. I said, he just came to check on us. But yeah, ever since I had that first time, I've had no issues. And that was just odd. They came to check on me. And yeah, I started laughing at myself once I figured out what I was doing. Yeah. But, you know, you have connections with places. Mm-hmm. They get to know you. And there's a jail here locally that the first time I went there, there's a black gentleman that was took out and hung.
Ooh.
And I told him that Obama was president. And every time I go, he follows me around. If I'm outside, I actually have a picture of him looking out the door when I was doing a, like they call it Warsaw ghost tours. They take you to haunted locations around there. You can see him standing in the door.
Oh, that's cool. I love and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
We did a Halloween event with some ladies that run it. The one passed away now. And they said, Pete, are you behind Jen or around here? All of their equipment lit up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, you get these places and you just connect with some spirit.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's just like the living, right? There's, you go, you can go into a group of people and there's, you know, one person that you connect with more than anybody else there.
Yep.
We have Benson here, you know, and we have a kid, Daniel, on the team. And he went into the mill and was like, I'll tell you what, like, if you guys all come over here and say my name, I'll give you, you don't have to come to work for the next 24 hours and I will give you all the pay and all the food that you need that you normally get. And they thought that was the best thing. And now every time we go back, they're like, where's Daniel? Is Daniel coming back to give us a day off with pay? So they thought that was the best thing for that old mill.
Yeah, and it really bothers me when people demand that they speak to them. Oh, I demand you to answer me. You know, I wouldn't answer you either if you talked to me like that.
Yeah, no.
And there's been cases where there are teams that'll come in and do that, and the next team comes in, and the spirits who have never been aggressive are now biting and kicking and screaming and doing anything they can to make sure that you know you are not welcome because they ruin it for everybody else.
Either that or you get absolutely nothing. Like
that happened to us at West Virginia when we went before.
Case Cross was that where that happened.
Jeez.
Yep.
No, that's the thing. You know, you treat spirits the way you would treat a living individual. You know, you talk to people with respect and you be nice and polite. And if you do that, generally speaking, they will communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I think people tend to forget that they were alive at one time.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
Well, and the thing is, the other thing too is, and we try to tell people this too about provoking in those things, because if you walk into someone's house and you start being, you know, a butthead to them, you're probably going to get decked.
Mm-hmm.
But if you throw a punch at me, I can see it coming and I can, you know, prepare myself for it. But if a ghost goes to punch you, you can't see it coming.
Right? I got throat punched.
You did.
We were over at
the Frontier Prison in Wyoming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we were right where the people would hang. And so
we were by the gas chamber.
We were by the gas chamber.
But it's like right there.
Yeah.
Like it's all real close.
Death house.
Yeah. And so we're actually sitting like, I was pretty much in between where those two were.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, I got throat punched and it was like, okay, really? Like I was being really nice.
Yeah, they were just very aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because you were a female?
Very well could have been. I wouldn't be surprised. But I mean, then you never know.
And
I could have just been, because I'm more sensitive than, I used to say I'm the most sensitive out of our team. And so for me, it was, I wonder sometimes if, you know, because generally the people who are the most sensitive get the most active things to happen because they know that you know, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm wondering that could have been it too. I don't know, but it was not fun.
No,
it was not fun. I was coughing for like the next 5 minutes.
Well, you were just getting over a cold too.
Uh-huh. So it was not helpful.
So we didn't know if like, we're like, are you okay? Because like, we're in the dark. I mean, it's pitch black. And then Elisa just starts coughing and like she's going to have issues. And it's like, are you okay? She's like, I just got punched in the throat.
It was like an open hand, like in between your first finger and your thumb. And somebody just went right into my throat. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, guys.
Oh, wow.
That was not helpful.
I think my brother did that to me when we were about 10.
So you know what it feels like.
Yeah. 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 It's not, it literally just, your trachea just goes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on to our podcast. We really appreciate the time that you took out to do that for us. Well,
thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
And then just to go over that again, it's Women's Para Retreat Weekend, and it's June 24th and 25th.
Uh-huh.
And it's in West Virginia.
Moundsville, West Virginia. Yes, sir.
And we can go ahead and just repost that information on our Facebook sites and Twitter and all that.
Absolutely. We got a flyer.
Yep. We will just recirculate that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm still looking for vendors, speakers. We got our team lead full. That was the easy one.
That's great.
That's great. So if anybody who's listening, if you guys want to be a speaker or a vendor, please reach out to Jen. You can find the information on Women's Para Retreat, womenspararetreat.com.
Yeah. Yep. They'll just need to fill out an application and the application's online.
Oh, great. It's an easy website because it's womenspararetreat.com. So, I mean, you can't beat that.
No, you can't beat that at all.
I was like, what is the easiest way to do this?
Yeah, that is a great, that's a great way to do it.
And like, it's just simple, easy, and it's just the name. You know how like some people are like, have all these abbreviations, but no, I'm good on that.
Well, they say keep it simple.
Yep.
Yep.
We just want to thank we just want to thank everybody for hanging out and listening to us as we celebrate women in the paranormal and National Women's Month for the month of March.
Woohoo! Yay! I want my present.
Your pencil and paper.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, thanks.
Got some writing on it. Yeah. You know, white out.
That'll be day three.
Yes. You're
right. That's another day for us.
And as always, stay ghosty, my peeps. Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal _Research.